I'd like to call the meeting of the Higher Education and Career Readiness Policy and Finance Committee to order. Welcome, everybody. We do have a quorum, so we're official. I'd like to, first of all, entertain a motion to approve the minutes from yesterday, January 31st.
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes.
Representative Christensen moves the minutes, January 31st. Any discussion? Corrections? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Before we get to our multiple bills today, we have three. We're gradually picking up speed in this committee. So, and before we do that, I'm told that there's a birthday in the room. Representative Heitzman, do you know anything about that?
As a matter of fact, I do, Mr. Chair.
Would you like to elaborate?
I would. Kelly.
There is somebody if you.
Yeah, right. Kelly Diane Heitzman is 12 today.
Oh, wow. Well, enjoy the next hour. All right. Mr. Chair, I don't remember seeing you here very often, so is this a first?
Might be.
At least in a long time.
I'd just like everyone to know that I have three daughters, and on their 12th birthday, I gave them each a new car.
Everybody keeps saying that.
Representative Greg Davis, you have the first bill up today, House File 8, and I'll move House File 8 to be passed or to be voted on, and it goes to taxes, is that correct?
Correct. And Mr. Chairman, there is I have an amendment, the H0008A1 amendment, to get the bill in order. Like, what that basically does is it says that if you're a married couple, each spouse could take part in this program, so there's no marriage penalty, because right now there is, and I don't like it.
All right. Maybe we can get the page to turn your volume up just a little bit.
Oh. Thank you.
Okay. That's good. Okay. So I'll move the amendment, the A1 amendment. Any discussion, questions on that? Hearing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And it's passed. All right, now you have the bill in the way you would like it to be. So proceed.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. And there's a series of three bills around House File 8 as amended right now. And what we're trying to do here is to help with the stone. Basically, we're looking at, in this state and across the country, a student debt crisis, if you will. And I don't like to call something a crisis if it's not, but some would argue that it is. And what this does is this would help people that work in Minnesota reduce some of their debt. You can see on House File 8, you'd have to meet several conditions. You have to be employed in a public service job. So this one's more limited. Have a partial financial hardship, have one or more qualified education loans. And then I need to stick on 8 here, but 19 and 20, 19 is a little bit more robust, 20 is toned down a little bit. So in the House File 848 last year, we did have the provision in there, which is actually House File 20, but what I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman and members, is move these bills to tax committee so that we can work on helping students reduce their debt. Of course, we don't have targets. We don't know how much it'll be. The amount last year in House File 848, which is similar to House File 20, when we put the amendment on, is about $75 million. House File 19 is amended to be about $135 million. And House File 8 is less than that. It's limited. As you can see there, more must be a public service job and so forth. The others don't include that. So, to House File 8, maybe to give a better description, maybe Mr. Williams could go through House File 8.
Chair, members, and members, so House File 8, as Chair Davids mentioned,
think it's a refundable tax credit equal to 50% of eligible loan payments made in excess of 10% of adjusted gross income. The credit is capped at $2,000, and as Chair David's mentioned, it's available only to individuals who are employed in a public service job, and that definition is based on the existing federal public service loan forgiveness program. To claim that credit, you also have to be experience what's called a partial financial hardship. For the purposes of this bill, that would be defined as a situation in which your student loan payments under the standard repayment plan exceed 15% of your income above 150% of the federal poverty line. I think some of you have a copy of this, the table, which sort of compares hypothetical credits for different individuals with different student loan situations. So just as an example, under House File 8, a single filer with principal payments of $2,800, interest payments of $2,200, the credit for that filer would, with if the person had an adjusted gross income of $30,000, would be $1,000, so they would get the maximum credit. Oh, sorry, excuse me, they would get $1,000, not the maximum credit, which is $2,000 under House File 8.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, and members, to these bills, speaking generally, I know we're on House File 8 as amended, but it was a year or so ago, President Obama came out on the TV and was saying we have a student loan debt crisis and we need to do something about it. And my first reaction was, are you kidding me? I paid for mine. I paid for my student loans, my wife's, my kids. Government, stay out of it. But as I sat down to visit with people and looked into this further, this could be a great economic development tool for Minnesota in that if you come to Minnesota, you can participate in a loan reduction, because every thing that I think is that, no, do it yourself. But this is businesses are very interested in this. It's a great recruiting tool saying, you come to Minnesota, bring your best and brightest to Minnesota, we're going to help with that student debt. And that's what House File 8 does.
Just to clarify, Mr. Chair, you have to go to school here first, right?
No.
Well, they don't.
Mr. Chairman and members, we're looking at the debt itself, so you have to work here. Oh, so you don't have to go to school.
It has nothing to
We'd
do
love
with
it if you did, if you're a UMD Bulldog or a St. Cloud Husky, or most preferably, of course, the finance institution would be Winona State. I think some members of this committee would agree with that. So you don't have to go to school in the state, but you have to be working in the state.
Okay.
So you could go to lesser schools like Harvard and Cornell and Yale and come back to Minnesota and work here and be able to get some debt relief.
I'm glad you clarified that.
I just want to clear that up.
I know a student who went to Harvard and he did it without any debt because he got it free. Now, that's an example we need to have in this state if we can. Somehow.
Record.
Are you ready for questions now on this bill?
I don't have any questions.
No, I know you don't. I will find out if the members do. Representative Bernardi.
Okay, Representative Davids, I just want to, we kind of look maybe with the same generation category here. Not a generation, but maybe the same age cohort. I don't know. But
I think you're much younger.
Oh, thank you very much. But let's just say we were. When we went to college, we had the state provide a lot more funding to help reduce our tuition. So, you know, my family, we paid for our education, didn't have any, you know, public subsidies or grants, and it actually my husband did when he grew up, but the rest of our family members, we didn't. But I just want to clarify, it was a much easier time when probably you went to school or I went to school with how much the state supported educating our students. Would you agree with that part?
Well, David, Representative Bernardi, the state did have a higher percentage of money given to the public institutions at that time, and, you know, I was at $10 a credit. What are they today? I don't know. What's a credit today at, like, Winona State?
Just nobody knows.
300?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Representative Bernardi.
Mr. Chair, maybe we aren't the same cohort because I think that I paid about $27 per credit when I went to school. You look, Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, I thought you were much younger than that.
I'm going to call on Representative Pawlowski, and he's going to have a comment for you, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's always nice to talk to a Winona State University graduate. And my wife also compliments you when you wear that Winona State beautiful shirt you bought at the bookstore from her when she was working at the Winona State bookstore. So she watches you closely, just so you know.
And, Mr. Chairman, members, it's a very good service, too.
Yeah, that's good. Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, just a couple of questions. Can you tell us which of these was in the tax bill last year that unfortunately was vetoed?
Yes, Davids. Mr. Chairman and Representative Pawlowski, that would be House File 20.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, when we're looking at numbers like $135 million and $75 million and whatever's in between for House File 8, I always like to know who's getting booked to pay that. And this is going to the tax committee, so this is coming out of the tax target and the tax account. It's not coming out of the higher education target. Because we've had some discussions about that over the years when some of these bills have to be paid for. And I always said if it's a tax bill, it's a tax target, and the tax committee should pay for it out of their target.
Davids, is that correct?
And Mr. Chairman, Richard Polsky, that is correct in this case. Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, I would renew our motion that House File 8 has amended be adopted, and it then would be referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. It is adopted. All right, Chairman Davids, I bet we find another bill here somewhere, right? This would be House File 19. Is that one you want to take up?
Yes, sir.
Next? Okay. I then make the motion that House File 19 be adopted and referred to the Tax Committee as the other bill was. And you also have an amendment.
That's correct, the H00191 amendment. And basically, Mr. Chairman, members, we're doing the same thing here with that we don't want to create a marriage penalty in this bill.
Okay, any questions on the amendment? If not, I'll offer it, the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The A1 amendment is adopted. Okay, to the bill, sir.
And again, members, this is a similar type bill. Eligible loan payments minus 10% of individuals' adjusted gross income in excess of $10,000. Why don't I have Mr. Williams, if he would, kind of summarize it.
Chair Norris and members, so as Chair Davids indicated, the credit equals the lesser of one of three numbers. The main one is the eligible loan payments minus 10% of an individual's adjusted gross income in excess of $10,000. And then there's sort of two other numbers that are essentially like caps on the payment. So the first is the earned income of the taxpayer, and the second is the sum of the interest that that individual paid during the taxable year and 10% of the original loan amount. There's no explicit cap on the credit defined in the bill, but as an individual's adjusted gross income would increase, the credit sort of phases out. And other than that, it does not have the same eligibility requirements related to a public service job or a financial hardship that were contained in House File 8.
Representative Davidson?
Yes, that's a very good description. This is the more expensive one, so if this one passes today and gets to Tax Committee, we will be working on these to get the numbers to fit.
Any questions on House File 19? I wasn't sure. Lean, are you also on the list? Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay, Representative Fryer.
If I spent more time, I could understand this a little bit better, but is there, it phases out and there's no cap on it, would we be able to know what the impact on the budget would be?
Let's defer to Mr. Williams on that. Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pryor, I think that in order to know the exact impact on the budget, we'd need to get a formal revenue estimate from the Department of Revenue, and my understanding is that would be requested when it moves on to the Taxes Committee. I think Chair Davids may have mentioned a number based on the bill that was introduced last session that was kind of similar to this one. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to know exactly what the cost of the budget would be without the revenue estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Chairman, and to the question, this was in the 2015 bill, and it was $135 million. The revenue total is $135 million. So that doesn't mean it would be again, but it, I would think it would be somewhat similar over the biennium.
Okay. And just...
Yeah, the prior.
For my own understanding, then, is it, but it's open-ended. I mean, if we had more and more people applying for this, there isn't any limit to what would come out of the budget?
Yeah, no. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative. You are correct. The revenue estimate, they're usually pretty good, pretty close. But, yes, it could be a little more.
Yeah. Any other questions? Before we call for a vote on this, maybe I should have done this before. We have, I think, a couple of people here that would like to testify. Maybe we should bring them down at this time, if that's all right. Mahel, I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. Hall?
Well, as far as testimony goes, I'm not sure if they're for or against it. If they're for it, they can come down.
We'll take a chance.
I'll take a chance.
I'll take a chance. So who's first? I think they're... Someone here from Education Minnesota? And maybe, yeah. Introduce yourself and then tell us who you are and then go and testify, please.
Sure. My name is Sarah Fleiss. I am a high school English teacher at Blaine High School. I teach 9th and 12th grade English. And I'm here to testify today in favor of alleviating some stress that comes from education debt. So I want to start by saying that I've, in my lifetime, had two dreams. One was to be a writer and one was to be a high school English teacher. And although there were some obstacles along the way, I eventually achieved these goals. And in fact, it was in 2005 when I was first accepted to the MFA program at Hamline University, and I started to inquire about financial aid and any scholarships that may be available to me. I was told that the pursuit of a graduate degree was a privilege, and therefore there was very little funding for it, and the majority of the loans I qualified for were unsubsidized. I had to quit my salary position managing a restaurant. I had to take an hourly job making considerably less. I had to go without health insurance just to be able to afford to pursue my dream of getting a master's degree in writing. And it was because I was a working adult that my master's degree took 5 years. And when I completed it in 2010, my loans had been sold off in pieces, and when I finally consolidated them, the interest rate was at 8%. While at the same time, my friends who were looking to buy houses could get interest rates at 3%. It wasn't until a few years later that I finally decided that I wanted to pursue the second half of my dream and go back to school for a teaching license. And due to my other degrees, I had to enroll in an initial licensure program, which is also a master's program at Hamline University. It was an 18-month program, and once again, I had to drastically change my lifestyle in order to be able to afford to live. In fact, when it came time to do my student teaching, I had to quit my job altogether, pay the university for my student teaching credits. I had already taken out the maximum amount of loans afforded to me that year. I had to borrow money from my father, who's 100% service-connected disabled, and I maxed out all my credit cards in order to be able to afford to live and pay my rent. I don't know many other professions where you have to pay for an internship. In fact, I know that residencies and internships, you can receive some sort of compensation. When I got hired last year in the Anoka and Hamilton School District, my education qualified me for a beginning salary of $48,000. My education debt, as we speak, is accruing interest, and I am $138,000 in debt. Yet, without those degrees, my salary would be considerably less. And on January 16th of last month, a gentleman sideswiped me. I got in a car accident. My car insurance told me that my car was a total loss and that they'd pay me out at $2,200. I have no savings, and my debt-to-income ratio will not afford me a loan. But even if I wanted to get a loan and buy a new car, I would have to somehow become delinquent in other payments towards my other debt. But I love my job. I love teaching in this state, and I finally actually get to do what I love. So there is some worth to this. Teaching 9th and 12th grade students is the most rewarding thing I do. And the 12th grade students at Blaine High School are curious and excited about the world they are about to enter once they graduate. But they are not naive. They are acutely aware that the cost of a four-year education institution could, in the end, very well be their financial demise before they even have an opportunity to begin their adult lives. This fear of insurmountable debt is often the reason why they opt for attending a community college, or they choose to enter the workforce immediately and just opt out of education. They also delay the process of living on their own by remaining in their parents' homes for an extended period of time until they can afford to live without debt. And it breaks my heart every time one of my students approaches me with an acceptance letter to their preferred college or university and then proceeds to tell me that they had to defer simply because they couldn't afford the education that they very much deserve. There are days when my students, I'll admit, are a little bit tired and lazy and whiny about the classwork that I'm giving them, and they say, why do I have to do this? Why is this important? And my answer to them is that they will always need their reading and writing skills to be able to advocate for themselves. And today my 9th graders worked on their research papers. And it was a topic that they got to choose on their own. And the majority of my students chose to write about why standardized testing should be abolished and why college should be free. And since my students could not be here today to advocate for themselves, I will be their voice. I appreciate you allowing me the time to speak before you today, and I do urge you to continue this very noble work of alleviating education debt. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for being here. Any questions for members? Ninth grade, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm, yes.
That's fun, I bet, huh?
They're hilarious. I love them. I love them.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
I remember being a freshman myself. Yes, Mr. Chair.
I believe it's the Blaine Bengal Tigers.
It sure is. Yes, it is. Yep, go Bengals.
Go Bengals.
Yeah, very good. Well, again, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. I believe we have another testifier. Raquel?
Yeah.
And the last name?
Hiley.
Hiley?
Yeah.
I just like it spelled.
Yeah.
Okay. And you are with?
I'm with the Minnesota Public Interest Research Group, or MPIRG.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, members of the community, my name is Rahel Hiley, and I'm an organizer with the Minnesota Public Interest Research Group, or MPIRG. MPIRG is a grassroots, nonpartisan, student-directed nonprofit dedicated to train students to be engaged in the political process in Minnesota. So I work with college students every single day, most of which who are terrified of graduating from college only because of the staggering student debt that they'll face. I personally have parents that are refugees from Eritrea and were able to become citizens and saved money for 15 years in order to not have me have student debt. But my three younger siblings, will not be so fortunate. A student loan credit is a fair incentive for newly graduated students to stay working in Minnesota. And the burden felt by my students would be eased. Not only would this tax credit keep excellent workers in the state, but it would pay itself off as a resultant increase in productivity. That fact is, a more productive state is better for every Minnesotan. MPIRG has been a supporter of student loan tax credits for a decade, and while we appreciate the version, the intent of these versions of the student loan tax credit, they would only be for people who would qualify, who don't qualify for federal loan student repayment programs, and if it's targeted to higher income Minnesotans. So we want students of color and low income students in Minnesota to be able to afford college too. So we'd love to work with Representative Davids to make sure that the tax credit is going to students who need it the most. And thank you for all of your time, and thank you, Representative Davids.
All right, thank you very much. Any questions? All right. Well, thank you again for taking time to be with us.
Thank you.
All right. Back to you, Representative Davids. First of all, any other questions from members? This is House File 19 now we're dealing with?
I have nothing else, Mr. Chair.
Nothing else? Okay. So hearing nothing else, I'll then renew my motion that House File 19 as amended be referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. We have one more bill, and that's House File 20. And I'll again move House File 20 to also be referred to the Tax Committee. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have an amendment to H0020E. One amendment is worded a little differently. It's basically we delete filing a joint return on that, so you wouldn't have to necessarily file a joint return.
Everybody see any amendment? Any questions? And I'll move the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A1 amendment is adopted. All right. Back to House File 20.
Okay. As we said before, members and Mr. Chairman, members, House File 20 is the provision that was in House File 848. And I do thank Chair Pawlowski for working on the conference committee, coming in when my good friend Chair Lincheski took a different career path, and so Representative Pawlowski came in and did a great job on the conference committee, and this was part of that bill, and we would like to pass this and put some form of student debt relief in the omnibus tax bill. And maybe Mr. Williams could just give some of the details for the record.
All right, Mr. Williams.
Chair owners and members, so House File 20 is fairly similar in structure to House File 8 with a couple of differences. So House File 8 gave a credit of 50% of eligible loan payments in excess of 10% of adjusted gross income. House File 20 is similarly tied to eligible loan payments in excess of 10% of adjusted gross income, but the percentage is different depending on the individual's occupation. So for someone who's not employed in a public service job or an education profession, it's 50%. For individuals who are employed in a public service job, it's 65%. And for individuals who work in an education profession, it's 75%. Other than that, the maximum credit in House File 20 is $1,000 compared to $2,000 in House File 8. And there are no requirements that you be employed in a public service job or have a partial financial hardship in order to qualify for the credit.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Williams. At this point, I'll ask for questions, if there are any. Representative Lehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Davids, or to staff, kind of a technical question, but how did the different percentages come about in this bill for the different, I don't know, job categories or different professions?
Who would like to address that?
Yes, I would, and the provision, those numbers came out of the Senate. That wasn't originally in the House, 848. They came through the conference committee through the Senate. And I think, you can see if there's a bit of a preference for, I think it's public school teachers, education profession, public school teachers for that. And members, this is not a be-all, end-all, but, and you can see the numbers that we're working with, House File 20, we're figuring to be about $75 million. And so we'll see what our targets are. I do want you to know, though, however, Mr. Chair, I did get my targets because I just did some figuring here that the governor and his plan is at $88 million of relief. Steve Drazkowski was on the record saying that, or Chair Drazkowski wants $4 billion in relief. So we're somewhere in between there. So I'm a little ahead of the other committees.
All right.
So with that, what we want to do, and the reason we're sending several forms over there is because I really think this is an important bill, and yes, it probably doesn't go as far as some would like, but we want to get the best bang for the buck out of these, and we will certainly want to get as much as we can in the final tax bill.
Well, I would say student debt is probably our number one concern of this committee, and that comes from two things. One of them is tuition, and we're hoping to keep that under control, And then if we can provide help for those that are already in the situation, that's another goal that we have in this committee. Representative Leon.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a follow-up comment to you, Chair Davids, or I don't know, I guess anybody in this part of this committee, but I think it's really important that we do keep some kind of component of people who are working in these sorts of, you know, tax credit bills or student refund relief bills for student debts. You know, I think it is important we do keep some sort of component that people are working, whether it's full-time, part-time, or whatever, but also that it's not necessarily just focused on certain fields. You know, I talk to people all the time, my own friends, for example, who went into a education program, completed their program, and now they're working retail at Office Depot or whatever. Not to be mean, Office Depot, but that's not exactly what they went to school for. So it's a lot of people, a lot of different situations, and I do appreciate that component that people have to work, you know, to get be able to take advantage of some of these things, but not to necessarily limit it to certain fields or whatever. So, all right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other Representative Haley?
Thank you, Chair. And Chair Davids, thank you for the work on this. And this may be a question to you or some of the research staff. I'm curious, because this wasn't the last bill, if we know the size of the, so for $75 million, how many actual borrowers or people would be impacted? And if we know the difference between anybody with student loan debt versus the number of folks that would qualify under the partial financial hardship?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative. House Bill 19, we figure it's about 110,000 people. And House File 20, I think we figured about 75,000. That's really hard to tell how many people apply for it, but it'd be less. It's cost less money.
Thank you. I was
about
just curious about the impact. Thank you.
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Representative Leeds' point, and if Representative Davids had any comment, just a quick story. I'm in the log business. We do log railings and trusses and stairways and columns, things of that sort. I at one time had hired a logger, and he had a degree in cultural anthropology. And I wonder if maybe there had been some incentive to focus that degree path a little bit differently, if maybe he would have been able to put that energy into a degree that might have helped him to find something more productive in the market. Does this bill do anything to help focus students' energy and maybe incentivize them to look for a career path that has a better chance of being employable, maybe? That's a rough way of saying it.
Representative David. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Heitzman, the answer is no, it really doesn't. We're looking at debt, whatever kind of debt you have from student loans, qualified student loans. So it does nothing as far as, you know, where people might go. My college career, I started out on a wrestling and football scholarship at Waldorf College, home of the Mighty Warriors in Forest City, Iowa. And my major was law enforcement, and I was really good. It passed all the classes and everything until we got to the part with guns, and they were pointing them at us. And I said, that's enough of that. I went into education. So this bill has nothing to do with what one might pick or do. It's what you have, where you're at now, and how can we help with that. And yes, I'd like bigger numbers because the young lady that was here testifying with $138,000 in student loan debt, this isn't the be-all, end-all, but it could make a few payments. It could help with a few payments.
Any other questions? Then we'll move on to a motion to renew my motion that House File 20, as amended, be referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And so House File 20 is adopted. That's really the official business.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, and to Representative Bernardi's question. 5 years.
Okay, I don't know if she has a question for you, Representative.
No. I don't know if it's. I don't know. I was going to ask it to you, but we might.
Representative Bernardi.
He may have the information. I was just wondering, have there been other tax credit bills or tax-related bills around student debt that have already been introduced? Or have you heard, are you expecting any? I know we would be hearing them. I remember I was on a bill with Representative Applebaum last year. I don't know if he's put it in yet or not. I believe that he has.
Representative Bernardi, I don't have a definite answer, yes or no. We'd have to check on it. Representative Davids?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Bernardi, I believe there is another one. I'm not sure if Representative Applebaum has his in, but I think there is another one in there. And members, this, when we did this last year, this was the first in the nation type program. This was groundbreaking. It was the first one. And so that's why I was so excited to get House File 848. That one of the reasons to get that signed didn't happen. I'm not looking back. We look to the future here. And so I guess it'd still be first. It's just it took a little longer.
Representative Bernardi?
So, Mr. Chair, I do understand that Representative Applebaum has submitted his. Are we going to be able to hear his as well?
We try as much as we can to hear all bills that come to the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions before we let the chair leave? Actually, you don't have to leave.
I won't go away mad. I'll just go away.
We'll be right behind you, I think. One closing comment I have, I don't know if you've been noticing, but we've had some real audio problems in this particular room. Last night, when we had the region's candidates in here, it was just horrible. And we're missing two microphones up here now. Somebody thinks we have found the culprits.
No.
So we're missing two microphones that they believe was the height or the reason for all that racket. So cross our fingers that it's the reason. And my CA doesn't care if she has a microphone or not. Ken, you see that? We'll make it work without a microphone, too. So I just pointed out that we're trying to make some progress so that we have a good experience in this room without having to deal with that racket. So, and they blamed it on cell phones. I questioned that from the beginning, but who knows? It maybe still is, but bear with us. We'll be back next Tuesday, and we'll test that theory. So, any other questions, comments? If not, that's our agenda for the day. Our meeting is adjourned.